Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Good Bit Podcast, and we are here for another exciting edition of the podcast this week. I am very grateful for your time. Thank you so much for tuning in. And what an episode you have decided to listen to this week, everybody. No, we are not doing our usual format. No, we have not been to the cinema or the theatre or anything like that, which usually would be our job and our homework here as podcasters on The Good Bit. But we are chatting to a fellow podcast host, a podcast pal, if you will. We have the amazing and talented Nicola Roy joining the show this week, host of the Cultural Coven podcast, who I connected with recently on Twitter, actually. I think it was a few weeks ago now, or maybe a month ago. And just things get in the way. It's hard to kind of schedule podcasts these days, with everybody being busy and that sort of thing. So we've been trying to get a date sorted for today's podcast for so long. And, you know, just through things happening over the past few weeks and stuff like that, I've been listening to some of Nicola's podcasts, which again is The Cultural Coven, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast places. It's also in association with the Lyceum Theatre in Edinburgh, which is a nice tidbit as well. And just adds to the kind of, I don't know, the stature of the podcast and the kind of professionalism and the manner of the podcast that really comes through, that kind of, like, as I say, the elegance and the professionalism of Nicola herself, but also the podcast. So that was really interesting. I was going through the kind of back catalogue, and I was going through the guest history and the archive episodes and that sort of thing, and I was just amazed by the level of guests that she has been able to chat to on the Cultural Coven. So it is a podcast about, you know, creatives and the arts and that sort of thing, but specifically about Scottish people or Scottish creatives that have inspired her in some way. So going through the lists, there's the likes of Elaine C. Smith, there's Liz Lockhead, there's Alan Cumming, there's Ricky Ross of Deacon Blue, and the most recent episode actually was from Nicola Sturgeon, so definitely worth listening to. We're going to get into the kind of thought process behind the Cultural Coven and just podcasting in general. Nicola's also an amazing actress, so we're chatting about some of her acting work as well and her favourite films, that kind of stuff that we always kind of chat to and chat about on The Good Bit usually. But I said this to her, I sent Nicola a text as soon as we finished recording this, and I texted her saying, thanks very much for recording, but I feel like we've really just scratched the surface. So I expect a part two of this episode, everybody. There's still plenty to get into, not just film-wise, but podcast-wise as well. And I don't know, maybe it's just it's me as a podcast person, or like a podcast host, someone that is interested in like creating your own stuff and that sort of thing. I've just always been interested when maybe two people who do the same sort of hobby that I'm into will maybe chat about it, you know. So maybe it's interesting to some of you, I don't know. If you're listening, then great, hopefully you find it enjoyable or interested. But yeah, I just knew the fact, just two podcast hosts chatting about their kind of thought process and kind of what they go through in terms of the people they speak to and their game plan and kind of the mission statement of what they want to do for the podcast and why we kind of do all this stuff, why we do the prep, why we deal with the tech, why we do all the post-production stuff, which we both agreed takes the longest. So, but of course, it's for the love of it, isn't it? It's for the passion of doing the podcast. So it is a passion project. It is a hobby. It's one of my favourite things to do, if not my favourite thing to do, or I wouldn't be putting all this time and effort into it, you know. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching, if you're watching the video version on YouTube. Thank you for always giving us the lovely feedback and stuff. You can continue to do that by leaving us comments on the YouTube channel, but also just by sending us a message or a tweet or a post or a comment or whatever on the socials at The Good Bit Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all those good places. Definitely get in touch and let us know what you think of the podcast, what you thought of this episode, where you're listening, how you're listening. We love the feedback, we love the information and the data, so please let us know. And thank you very much to Nicola for an amazing chat. This is my episode with Nicola Roy, host of the Cultural Coven podcast, right here on The Good Bit. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy our chat. It's lovely to see you. What first thing I wanted to mention to you is, like, in terms of, like, right now in my head, I'm buying tickets for stuff, right? So I'm a big wrestling fan. I don't know if you've ever seen wrestling or watched wrestling.
I've seen it, like, on the TV. Like,
in the flesh.
In the flesh.
I'm assuming you're not a wrestler yourself. So they're doing a big, massive, like, event thing in Glasgow in June, right? So not to compare anything, but probably my Taylor Swift, right?
Okay.
So I'm happy to kind of fork out a little bit extra to pay money for tickets and that sort of thing, right? But the ticket prices are absolutely ridiculous. And I was curious if you can remember the most you've ever spent on a ticket and who it was for or what it was for.
Okay, this is actually, I mean, this is maybe a bit embarrassing, right? But it was to see Rod Stewart because I'm a bit of a secret Rod Stewart fan.
Not anymore.
But you know what? He's an incredible entertainer. Like, I'm not saying he's the best singer in the world, but he's got some catchy tunes.
Absolutely.
And it was my sister's 30th birthday, and I'd got her presents, and then I remember thinking, I feel like I need to do something like a bit more like special. Where we're having this little we're having a secret party thing for her as well. But I thought, I want to just do something that's just her and me. And then I saw it, and our mum, like, we lost our mum when we were teenagers, but she liked Rod Stewart as well. And I saw that he was playing, but it was somewhere random. What was it? It was like Kilmarnock, or it was a
Really?
football stadium, right? Yeah, it was like, I can't remember what it was, at Kilmarnock or Motherwell or something. It was a football stadium.
Yeah.
And because it was quite last minute, like the tickets were really pricey. And I ended up back, it was like 200 quid each or something, which I know is not like Taylor Swift or probably like wrestling,
Right.
level, but it was quite, this was, a few years ago, it was quite expensive.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there's like
But
certain limits for yourself as well, aren't there? Like it's a principle involved in it. You don't
yeah.
want to like, I don't know, your whole savings just on
I
this
know,
one
it's crazy, and
thing.
you kind of go, I don't know. I'm not really sure anybody is worth, or you can justify spending like 500 quid a ticket for.
Yep.
Or, well, is that what you're going to spend? Is that what you're spending
Well, I've not done it
500
yet, man, but I'm thinking
quid
about it. I don't know.
on?
I don't know. And then also, I learned today that you can pay it in three installments. So I
Oh
was like,
my
oh,
God,
well,
that tells
you
me the level of cost you
know.
pay it up. Like, okay, all right, that's great. Just a mortgage, but.
It's a mortgage, absolutely. But I also just paid off a holiday. I should have saved the money. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. But it's a once in a lifetime,
Right.
YOLO, as they say.
Exactly. I have total FOMO if I don't go. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to
Yeah.
actually go. They said something like the cheapest tickets are going to be £175. And I was like, Jesus, but okay. I went on.
So,
I'm yet to see one at £175. Like, the cheapest ones I can see are like over 300.
wow, that's a
Cheapest
lot, isn't
ones.
it?
I paid
Wow,
quite a lot
that'll be
last year.
like, and that you'll be like right at the back.
Well, they're saying right at the back, right? I thought the ones right at the back would be like the 175 ones, but they're even still so expensive. I went to the O2 last year in London and I was expecting it to be like pricey because it's London and that sort of thing, right? So I
Yeah.
did pay a bit extra, but I got like the best seats. You know what I mean? Like I went all out. I was like, I'm going to sit here. It was my partner's first time going. And I was like, I'm going to make sure like you properly enjoy it and that sort of thing. And then all the tickets for this is like more expensive than that one for like the worst seats. So I'm
That's
just. I'm at a
amazing.
crossroads now, man. I don't know what to do.
I mean, I hope it's worth it, because I mean, the one thing I'll see, I mean, when I went to see Rod Stewart, it was lovely. Actually, it was a great night, and it was very entertaining. So I did feel in the end that it was good value for money. But you know what was even better value was just leaving and seeing what was happening as people were leaving the concert. These poor people in this little town had people like peeing in their gardens, and like it was chaos because it couldn't take the volume of people that were like
Oh
coming
my
out of
God.
that area. It was crazy. So it was really entertaining. So it was a good night
Good night. That's all that matters. Good
out.
night. There's a restaurant in Glasgow called Barolo. I don't know if
Oh
you've been
yeah, I've
before.
heard of it.
And I was sitting having dinner there one night and there was a big like commotion in the back of the restaurant. It was like hired out for like a party or whatever, right? But we were at the front of the restaurant or whatever. And then someone came out to pay the bill. And they were like, great, okay, so I'm just going to put it all on the one card. And then the card was like declined. It was too much money, that sort of thing. He's like, right, I'll go get the person whose card that actually is because they were using someone else's card. Out walks Rod Stewart just in this restaurant, just hanging out with like all these
Oh
people. And he walks
my
out
God.
pure slow. I mean, he was a bit drunk as well, like pure staggering, kind of pure, like, you know what I mean? And I was sitting at the table and you know the way, like, it just happened so slowly. Like I'm sitting there, then
Right.
Rod Stewart's like walked past me. I'm just like, oh my God, that was Rod Stewart. Yeah.
Wow, was he dressed in tartan? Because he likes a bit of tartan, doesn't he?
I
He
think
likes him
Celtic were
like
playing that night, so I reckon he was probably going to
another.
football. So I don't know if he was. Yeah, but that's my Rod Stewart story. He was right
There you
beside me. I
go.
was thinking about
Very
like
nice.
sticking my leg out just to see what would have happened, but I never done that. I didn't want to get
Well,
cancelled. He'd probably write a song about me.
there is that.
Although he's getting on a bit, isn't he? He's getting on. He's getting ready to retire, I suppose. But he's had about 16 retirements.
He has, and he's had about six wives, has he not?
That's true.
Four
Yeah,
wives,
yeah.
quite a lot of children.
And his wife was recently on Loose Women. She's on Loose Women quite a lot, isn't she? Why are we talking about
Yeah.
this?
What gosh, that ter what's her name again?
Can't remember.
There was Rachel before, and now it's
Rod
that's
Stewart,
terrible.
wife. I'm doing a quick Google here.
You've
Penny.
got us
Penny
Penny,
Lancaster.
that's that Penny Lancaster, that's it,
That's right. All right, well, shout out to Rod. We know you're listening.
Yeah, I know. Do you want to come on, Rod?
I would love him. I don't know if he watches many films or not, but I'd talk to him about them. I don't care anybody.
That's it. You could talk to him about his own videos and stuff.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, his concert. Like that.
Yeah. Who's the best person you've ever seen live? Best concert? It's a hard question though, right?
Maybe Rod, because I always say Rod Stewart. Like, honestly, I want to say something. I mean, I've seen some like lovely, like not like popular type music, to be honest, and like classical music, which is not something I go to see very often. But when I was in Berlin, we went to the Berlin Philharmonic, you know, and it was incredible. It was just kind of like, this is not the sort of thing I would normally do or go and see. So that, I know it's a very different thing, but the best person I saw, I mean, it is Rod. It's going to, I'd love to see someone else, but it was Rod Stewart. I had a ball.
That's all that matters. I want to go see one of those, like, the orchestras that play the movie soundtracks, and like, you watch the movie or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it'd be really cool.
They do that, I think, in Edinburgh at St Giles sometimes. You know, they have these sort of one-off events, like, in really beautiful venues. And they do, and remember they did the one in London? Was it Christmas Day or Christmas before? And it was the Muppets Christmas Carol played, and they played
cool.
all with all classical music. Like, amazing.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Years of cool film.
Star Wars, or, I don't know, Back to the Future, or, like, a film that has a lot of classic kind of tunes. We just did a recent episode about that, actually. Greatest movie theme songs.
Ah.
Not like soundtracks, but actually like theme songs. Anyone's come to mind?
That's terrible. But themes, like, it would be something, like, for me, like, I don't know if it was the same for you, but like when I was little, like, obviously Back to the Future had been out for quite a while, but it was something that was like always played. Like, I always remember going to my childhood friend's house round the road. It was Ashley and Liam, and always they played was Back to the Future.
Such a great film.
It was like on repeat. It is brilliant. Yeah. But you know what? I'm going off of it here, but
now go for it.
A film that like really comes to mind that I just like adore is It's a Wonderful Life. It's just so like classic and beautiful, and it's got like a real heart and real story, and it's timeless, and I love all that kind of, there's something really romantic for me about that, when it's like in black and white, you know.
Yeah,
it brings something else to it.
I love those films as well that, even though it's old or whatever, you know, it's like a classic film, you still love it and you've still got that like personal connection to it, and you can just go back to it whenever. Is that one you watch like kind of every Christmas time, or is it just one that's kind of on any time?
Yeah, no, it's one that I watch every Christmas time, actually. But it's actually quite a strange thing happened a few years ago. Well, not strange, but it just hadn't occurred to me. So a theatre producer called Sarah Gray. Do you know Sarah?
No.
Lovely woman, brilliant, great producer as well. She like tagged me on social media, and she was like, "Oh my god, I've just been watching It's a Wonderful Life," and she's like, "You really look like Donna Reed, the main woman." And I was like, "What?" Like, I've never ever noticed it, but then it became this mental thread, right? And I was like, "Oh my god, that's all I can see now." So now it's become a bit of a joke with my friends. I'm like, "Oh, I've got to watch Nicola, like, in, you know, this year at Christmas," but that's not the reason I like the film. But I'd watched it so many times and never seen that, but it was not, I just love, there's something about that film. I think I might have watched it first with my grandma when I was little,
right?
And my grandma, she like passed away when I was quite young, maybe like 9 or 10, I think. But I always remember she was quite a glamorous lady, and she loved black and white films. It was the only time I ever watched black and white films was there at her house.
Yeah,
so I think that's maybe where my love for it started.
I don't know, there's something about it. I know it's not like its own theme, like being having like a black and white film, but there is something, because it's a bit different to what you're used to, you know what I mean? There is like a kind of charm about it.
Yeah, and I think it's the style of acting as well is quite different generally. The acting styles have changed over the years, and there's, with black and white films, maybe not so much It's a Wonderful Life, but there's quite a lot where the acting style is a bit more heightened than we are used to. It's quite interesting. Everything's a little bit
more pronounced and stuff.
Yeah, when they fall in love, you know, it's sort of like, it becomes quite physical, you know. It's different, it's romanticized.
Yeah.
We're much more naturalistic now.
Yeah. I think you probably think about it a bit more now, don't we? Because everything's so micromanaged, and like, you know, it's going to be on like social media and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? So you need to be kind of more careful with what you're doing.
Totally, and we have much more effects at our disposal, you know, and the way we, I imagine, the way we edit is quite different now as well. You know, we have we have much more that we can underscore a film with or just
Absolutely.
do with through filming compared to then.
Yeah. So you mentioned It's a Wonderful Life. Any other like favorite films? Do you have like a top five? Are you a film person?
Do you know, like, I wouldn't say I'd absolutely have a top. Well, I do have favourite films, right? But I feel like as an actor, I should maybe say things that are a bit more like deep and meaningful.
Right.
And
I
that's
totally
not
get you.
always the ones that stay with me. Sometimes, like, so one of my absolute favourite films is Dirty Dancing,
Oh,
right?
100%.
Like, it's amazing. I always remember watching it on a, like, if I was off school, sick, you know, like a day off.
Yeah.
I'd always watch it, or I always remember like watching it with my friends as teenagers, and I was like, you know, just completely in love with their love for it, because I love dancing. So, and I used to do line dance, and I was just, you know, when you're little, you want to
Nice.
be them, don't you?
Yeah.
And I still love that film. It's just fun, and it's like quite frivolous, and
It's like a comfort film though, right? When you see it on, you just kind of throw it on. Yeah.
it is. And then there's like films that I love, like Beaches, which oh, like Beaches, you know, like. That song, you know, The Wind Beneath My Wings, like it just
Yeah.
makes me cry. And that is a it is a beautiful story. It's about, you know, friendship and the cycle of life and hardships.
Yeah.
So there's a real heart to it. I think that's why I like that film so much. And you know, if you need to cry, watch that.
Sometimes it's good, yeah,
It
absolutely.
is. But I saw recently, did you see One Life in the cinema
No.
with Anthony Hopkins? That's a film that's really stayed with me.
A good one. I'm gonna write that down. One life.
One Life, yeah. So it was out about a month. I mean, it might even still be in cinemas, but I saw it about a month ago. And it's based on a true story. It's about a guy who was in I think his location changes a couple of times, but like Poland and the Czech Republic at the start of the Second World War, and he is working for this organization, and they're trying to get, it's just as things are starting, and they're getting a sense that you know, there's sort of these rumors about what's going to happen to the Jews, and he starts getting groups of children. So he's from England originally. He starts getting groups of children, Jewish children, out of the country on these trains, and like there's so much bureaucracy to go through, and his
Yeah.
mother's in London. And his mum is trying to convince like the Home Office here that these children need to come here, and they had to resolve. So each child had to have like a sponsor. Like this guy went to incredible lengths to get the children here and to have, you know, private sponsors in England, and he saved, like, I can't remember the figures, but it was thousands of
Wow.
children. And then unfortunately, one of the trains, but when they occupied Poland or Czech Republic, I can't remember, when they occupied where he was, when the Nazis finally occupied, he was trying to get a last train out, and then they stopped it, and the
And that
children
was
were,
it.
you know, that was another kill. But it was just, but like the way it was done, because you could really feel the heart of like the truth of the story had been really well honored, and he's just such a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
And at the end, they then cut to like images of these people who had then grown up that he had saved, and yeah,
It's so powerful when they do that, right? They cut to like real life
yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
yeah.
And like the credits and stuff. I saw a war film recently called The Zone of Interest. It was up for a bunch of Oscars and stuff. I
Okay.
saw it at the GFT, and that wasn't like, you know, sometimes those films that aren't, they don't really have like a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's more so just like a kind of snapshot of what life was like,
Yeah,
you know?
absolutely.
So it's based on a family that are living next door to a concentration camp, and like it's the family that are kind of like running the camp. But you kind of, they're presented as like a nice family, hardworking
Sure.
family, providing for their kids, wee bit well off, but they've got like elderly family and all that sort of stuff. And then you realize what they're doing, you know, when it's that kind of flip. And I don't know about you, but anytime I watch a film that's like based on a true story, obviously you're watching it as a film, but sometimes I forget like these things actually happened. You know,
No,
you're
I know.
watching it as a film, but then you're
Yeah.
thinking this came from the real life scenario. And I just always think that's bonkers.
Oh, absolutely. Or like, you know, things like actually a film that is, have you seen Sophie's Choice?
Yeah.
Wow, that is,
Yeah.
yeah, that
Or Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, I think that
horrific
was
view.
a
But
yeah.
yeah, David Heyman was in
Yeah,
that,
that's right.
and
Yeah.
produced, and he's one of the producers on that as well. But yeah, those stories, I think I am drawn to films that are based on true life events.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't know if that, I don't know really why that is. I think maybe it's partly why I'm an actor. Like, I'm interested in people's stories,
Yeah.
or, but then equally, with the other end of the scale, like, one of the films I totally love because I love comedy is, which I don't watch that many comic films, if I'm honest. I tend to do, like, if I see comic theatre
Yeah.
or do comic theatre myself, but I love Bridesmaids because I just think it's so clever and funny and
Yeah.
sassy, and they put, and it's like female led, and it's just, yeah, some of the setup of those comic scenes and the timings of them are hilarious. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I did one a podcast about it like 3 years ago or something like that, because
Okay.
I was doing like a format where like the guests would come on and pick their favorite film, and
Right.
then we would like chat about it and that sort of thing. So yeah, no, it's so funny. But the thing with comedy films these days as well, I feel like there's not as many like classics anymore, right? So I just don't watch them as often. Whereas like say
No, I
like the
get
mid
you.
2000s, there was so many like good ones, like
Oh my
one
God,
after another. But
yeah,
nowadays
and
there is good ones, but.
there was also just like there was a period of just like the same actors doing all the
Right.
comic films, so like Jim Carrey, people, and just constantly
Steve
appearing, like,
Carell, Will
yeah,
Ferrell, yeah.
totally appearing all the time. So you kind of, in a way, knew what you were going to get, but quite like that.
Adam Sandler as
Yeah,
well.
absolutely. And I know what
Yeah.
you mean. It's not it's there's just not. Yeah, I just don't tend to naturally go and see comic films anymore, and even though I did years before.
Let's chat about podcasts then, right? So I had been speaking to actors on a weekly basis, predominantly,
Yeah.
and I know obviously you've done lots of acting as well, but because you're a podcast host, I was really keen to speak to you about actually putting together a podcast and kind of your thought process behind it and stuff.
Yeah.
And more so because, like, if I was listening to a podcast, because I'm into podcasts, I would like find that interesting. So I thought, for my own good, I'll talk to you. But we'll put it on an episode, you know what I mean? And maybe some other people will find it interesting. I just obviously, so you're the host of the Cultural Coven.
Yeah, it's in association with the Lyceum Theatre, but it's very much my own
Yeah.
podcast. I set it up with a man called Stephen Dunn. He was a like a seed funder, so he was a pa no, not, yeah, he's a patron at the Lyceum and on the board. A very nice man who also sadly passed away recently.
Oh, really?
But I had a lot to thank him for. But however, it came out in the pandemic. Basically, because I had nothing to do.
Everybody was like starting stuff, weren't they? They were like, oh, yeah, I'll do a
I
podcast.
know. And it was Stephen Dunn who had approached me and said, oh, he had bought this podcast equipment for the Lyceum with a view of them to doing some sort of in-house podcast potentially, and I don't think anything had really happened. And I had, worked there quite a bit, and he said, oh, Nicola, you like chatting, and would you do a podcast? And I was like, oh yeah, okay, maybe. So I went away, and it was with originally co-produced with In Motion Theatre Company, and
Oh, yeah.
so the premise is, or originally was, that I interview like leading Scottish arts and cultural figures that I have looked up to over the years
Yeah.
and I've had a link to. So I've either worked with them or, yeah, the majority of them I've worked with, or I like know them. And I was like, what is this going to be? And so it's chatting about their career journeys and their life. And we often, just as artists do, right, because we like talking about politics, we sort of verge into a bit of that. And then I set them a silly creative challenge, and it's always something individual to them. And I just really wanted it to be an arts and cultural podcast, that wasn't just for your like guardian reader. That
Yeah.
was really important to me, because there's nothing wrong with that type of podcast, but I just want it to be a bit more like a shorthand into that person's life and to getting to know them.
And I mean, that's the best ones, isn't it? Like when you're just
Yeah.
kind of you're chatting, and sometimes you forget you're recording. You know what I mean? That's
Yeah.
always one of my favorite things, because you're just like lost in the conversation and get to know someone, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And so we were just recording literally from home at
Yeah.
first. Like, it was like proper lockdown. And we're learning, because I'm not somebody that's very up in like technology, and often my guests were, and so we're like, what are we doing?
Same here.
and we had like a, you know, a great sound engineer and helping, but I literally like note it myself for the edits, you know. I'm very kind of hands-on, and I think that's important because I always want to make sure that my guests are like represented in the way that they're happy with.
Absolutely.
And we did it in lockdown, and then the second series, though, because we're in association with the Lyceum, so they were very kindly letting me use a room and things like that, and helping me that way. We did like I think 2/3 of that series we recorded at the theatre in person, which I do prefer. And the odd one we didn't, just because like to do with people's availability.
Of course, yeah. I mean, obviously, you have to work around people's availability, but also, like, it's you kind of want to make time for like that actual chat, you know what I mean? Because I want to talk to people. That's kind of the reason I started this as well. It was one of those ones where I enjoyed the chat. I enjoyed getting to know people's stories, and you know, I've got an interest that I like films and stuff like that. So my whole idea was like, it's not actors necessarily talking about, you know, like the acting world today and, you know, things that are going on just now. It's more so talking about other things, talking about things that they enjoy, maybe to like to watch themselves or maybe binging just now to recommend to other people and that sort of thing. So, because I wanted to have that chat, I thought maybe, oh, it might be quite interesting to record. And that's kind of how I got started as well. But I just loved when I was looking on your feed and that sort of thing. I love the setup of it all being kind of like the grayscale stuff with a person's headshot. Always thought that was really eye-catching. And then I was going through your list of guests, and I was like, Jesus, first of all, the first one that comes up, obviously the most recent one, is Nicola Sturgeon.
I
I
know,
was
I
like,
was really
wow,
lucky.
that's crazy.
I was very lucky, and I'm very grateful to people because I felt they took a massive leap of faith with me. But it was really nice because I do have like a genuine, you know, I know these the
Yeah.
people that were on them, and I know them, so they were just being pals and like, all right, I'll come in and chat to you. Then the way Nicola Sturgeon one came around though was she had listened to. I don't know. I hope it was like a 1%. The way the Nicola Sturgeon one came around my
No, well,
mind
Nicola Sturgeon
was
actually reached out to me.
oh wait, no, but yes. So I had done a performed at her Burns Night like years before. I don't pretend to think that she, you know, that she remembered me from that. I know she goes to the Lyceum at Christmas with the kids, so I, maybe she maybe slightly kind of maybe slightly knew who I was, I don't know. But the way it came about was she's a big like Lizzie Lochhead fan, and
Right.
rightly so. And she had listened to my podcast with Liz. And then next thing, I swear to God, I got a DM on Twitter. I was like, Nicola, what? Nicola Sturgeon? And she was like, hi, I really enjoyed your
Isn't that the
podcast. Like,
best?
I was like, oh my God. Honestly, I remember screaming, and my sister was here at the time, and she was like, what is it? I was like, ah, because I am a big Nicola Sturgeon fan. And I just have a lot of admiration for her. And so I was like, okay, thanks so much. And then she put out a tweet and said, oh, if you're interested in podcasts, like,
Saw
you should
that,
really listen
yeah.
to this. And then so I just took that opportunity. I was like, right, stuff it. And I just like replied and I said, any chance you would come on, thinking she won't. And then she was
Aye.
like, yeah, no, I'd love to. I mean, it took a long time to arrange, but understandably, she's a really busy woman. Like, who the heck am I? I mean, she had like proper issues. I'm like, do you want to just, can I just record some chat? But at the time, because I thought she might come to the theatre, they were like, oh, do you want to come to Butte House? And I was like, yes. And so, but I had a bit, yeah, I had a bit of like a, I got a bit lost in Butte House.
Did you really?
No, there was a wee sweet old lady though who answered the door in a wee kilt, and I thought,
Oh.
because it was so informal and sweet, because you know, you go in and you think that you're going to get like, I don't know, checked and everything
Yes.
for, you know, and that you're going to be like manhandled and like, honest, you know. And it was so different to that. It was so just like chilled and lovely. And I'm sure they did security checks on us before we went, and I'm sure they have to. But it was like myself and my producer, Lee Kennedy, because she produced the second series, and Stephen Duncan with us as well, who had put some seed funding into the project. And so we went in, and like it was that big, you know, the stately room that you used
Yeah.
to see our recording stuff on
Yeah.
TV. And like there was like plates of like Tunnock's tea cakes and wafers and all
Oh,
that.
the Scottish, the
Yes.
iron brew.
Oh, I should put a lovely spread on for us. It was beautiful. And I was like, this is amazing. And then we were like, because we were like an hour before, I'm had all the equipment. I'm like, oh my God, how do we make this? Because, you know, it's high ceilings, and how
Of
do we
course.
make this like the best recording quality we can and things? And so our, I think it was like her secretary came down, really nice lady, and we were like, what do we do? And she was like, we could just move stuff. And we're like, what? Like, so we had like moving tables and everything.
You'd be scared to touch stuff, wouldn't
I
you?
don't, and then I went, but the thing, so before I don't know if you're like this, right? But before I record anything, I need to go to, like, I'm like, well, I better just go for like a nervous pee, right?
Yeah,
Because I don't want to be, I
absolutely.
don't want to need the toilet during this. And so I was like, I'm just gonna go to the toilet. And so I came out the room, and I think it was maybe like the first floor we were on. And they're like, the toilet's upstairs. Like, all right. So I walk up, I don't know how far I've walked up, and I go to the bathroom. Oh no, sorry, it's like it was downstairs, I beg your pardon. It was down at the very bottom. It was very like sort of ground floor thing. But I couldn't remember how many floors it was down. And so I go back up the stairs and I'm like, oh, the doors are shut. Like, which room was
Oh
it in?
no.
Like, because so I walk up and up and up. And we had masks. It was a time, you know, we were still having
Right.
to, I don't know what the, I can't remember what the law was, but out of respect, we're like, we're going to wear masks and everything. I can't remember what the law was at that time. Doors had been fully lifted. But anyway, I'm going up the stairs. I'm like, all right, I don't know. I think this is the floor. And I go just about to open a door, and I hear a voice behind me going, can I help you? And I turned around, and it was Nicola Sturgeon, and she was holding her trainers. And I cracked it. So I was like, and I went, oh, and I saw there was a hand gel machine right in front of me. I went, I'm just getting some hand gel. And then put hand gel on, and she was like, and she went, oh, Nicola. And I went, hi. And she went, you're downstairs. And I went, all right, I was just getting hand gel. And I went up like totally downstairs, right? And then when she, and I was mortified. And then when she came into the room for her like official entrance,
Aye.
I was like, First Minister, I'm so sorry, I totally lied to you there. I was like, totally lost. I nearly went into her private apartment. I was just like
Oh
bopping about Butte House. I was so confused. I was so, and I was like, oh God, great start, Nicola.
my God. But I love the fact you made something up instead of just being like, I'm
I
lost.
just cracked it. I just saw hand gel, just get in, and I put it up, just get in hand gel. And she was like, right. And she totally knew. She's like, you're downstairs. I'm so sorry. It was just so casual. But yeah, she was lovely. She answered every question. Even though at one point, I think it was her press secretary lady, I'd asked something about a story in the festival. And it was out in public knowledge. It wasn't anything scandalous. It was
Aye.
quite something quite funny about, I think it was maybe that she had smoked or something, when she was younger or something. And her press person was like, no. And she was like, no, I'm going to answer questions. So she was very,
Down to
very open.
earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it was good fun.
That's amazing. That's just because also that's like the most recent one, so it's the first one that comes up in the feed, and I was
I
like,
know.
hang on, what?
I know. And the thing is as well, is like which I didn't really bargain for, I think, when I started my podcast, was I was just quite lucky, like, maybe with the stuff we talked about and all, and the, you know, it's obviously the guests.
Yeah.
I started getting like, we started getting a bit of pressure, and I was like, oh God, is this going to be okay? But like, thankfully, it was all
It was
positive.
good stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel nervous when it was, this is just such a daft question, but see when it's like maybe someone a bigger name like Nicola Sturgeon or like I don't know, like a Lane C. Smith or something like that, do you get more nervous for certain people or for certain things? Because I remember doing one with Johnny Watson thinking my whole family's gonna listen to this one. Do you know what I mean? And I got pure nervous, do you know what I mean?
No, I do. I mean, I was very nervous for the Nicola
Yeah.
Sturgeon podcast before I got there. I mean, in the 5 minutes before she walked into the room, I felt like I was about to go on stage like times 100,
Oh man.
because it's just like, you know, I had so much respect for her. It's like it was a real privilege, like to be able
Absolutely.
to interview her, to also be at Butte House. It's not something I'm going to like forget ever.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, don't screw it up. Like, don't, you know, or like, I just got this feeling, well, what if I say, and it was also slightly different, right? Because my guests prior to that, like the majority were people who work directly in the arts. So I was thinking in a different way. I was trying to get her perspective on arts and culture and
Right,
her
you're not trying to
experience.
get dirt or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a different way of thinking for the interview. And because like I hadn't been on stage with her or something, so I didn't have
Right.
that like link. But it's funny, she's got a really great manner that as soon as she sat down, I thought, oh, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. I can do this.
And that's
But
so
I know what,
important, you know what I mean?
yeah, it is, isn't it? And because you have to be relaxed for your guest to feel relaxed, I think.
It needs to be. That's why it's so important to be informal and be friendly and that sort of thing, because as soon as I've been on plenty of, I've seen other people do it anyway, where it's just like, it's very, I have these questions for you and it's going to be in this order. And yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't think that's the way to do it, in my opinion.
No, totally. I mean, if I'm totally honest, like, I research to a ridiculous, and I'm sure you do, like, a ridiculous level. Like, the time I come to interview that person, and that's just me, that's probably to do with my own, like,
aye.
You know, to make myself feel confident. By the time I come to interview that person, I could probably tell you what they have for their tea, like, you know, what their parents' names are, where they go on holiday. Like, I know everything. And it's not that that necessarily comes into interview, but I kind of just need that as a point of reference. So it's not that I come with pre-planned things I want to say.
Right.
I mean, I have some questions in mind. I have topics I'd like to cover, but you can't be that rigid, because otherwise there's no, like, low, is there?
No, exactly. Exactly. I think you can tell when you listen to it as well. I think you can tell when someone's a bit like that. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. It clearly works for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just, I prefer a bit more chill anyway. I need to ask about Ricky Ross, because one I listened to, or when I listened to that episode, it was, he just seemed like such a sound guy. He is. How was that? Because that was a Zoom one, wasn't it?
That was my first ever podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, first ever one. I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Well, you were very good on it, if that makes you feel
better. Thank you, but I was like quite nervous before it. I think, what have I committed to here? But I had worked with Ricky before, like quite briefly. There was a thing called Burns and Beyond. It's like a Burns festival that takes over Edinburgh, and him and I had hosted it. And I was like quite a big Deacon Blue fan, you know, I mean, and I've seen Lorraine as an actress as well, and I think they're just like great couple and great performers. But he's just a really, really interesting person, because Ricky is a, you know, performer. He also has a very strong faith, and I find that very interesting. They're both like a very charitable people as well, you know, they get behind a lot of causes. I was really interested in the stories. I remember there was one story that really sticks in my mind, where he was talking about Dolly Parton. And at one point he had the same, I think it was the same agent or the same producer as Dolly Parton. And they were over in Nashville. Was it? I think it was Nashville. And somebody had made quite a derogatory comment to her, kind of, taken away from her talent and almost like reducing her to like the size of her boobs or something. And I remember Ricky saying at that point, he was like, nah, I'm out. And I think he left that, if I remember correctly, he just took like a really admirable stand. And I think he left the producer or agent, I can't remember exactly, I don't want to like misquote it, but I remember that story thinking, wow, like, you are a very principled person, and I really, really admire that. But yeah, he's just a very calm person. That's one of my overarching things. I'm like, because he's got such a calm energy.
And you think, because he's like a big famous celebrity and that sort of thing, that he's not going to be like that, but a lot of them are like totally sound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he's really sound. And actually, I did a wee thing recently at the Lyceum. It was like it was a private event. It was for the patrons only. Oh, I've got a funny colour. I think my lighting's changed.
It's about to be a very dark story you're about to tell us, please.
I'm not sure what changed it, that's weird. I did an event recently. It was like a private event for like patrons and things. It was just myself and two other actors. Three other actors, one of which was our MD as well.
Right.
And Ricky and Aline were invited to that. And I just always think they're just really, really nice people, obviously very talented people, but just really genuine people. And
I mean, you didn't want to embarrass yourself, you wanted to leave with your dignity. You knew it was coming, right?
Oh my god, were you been waiting all that time to see that?
Not to reveal when I was no, of course not,
but yeah, he was my first podcast.
That's great, man.
Guest.
That's really cool. Before I let you go, in terms of like starting a podcast, right? Say for someone, example, someone's listening to this right now and they're thinking, okay, well, Nicholas started a podcast in COVID, and you know, there's plenty of ways that you can do it and that sort of thing. What are some tips and advice that you could give someone? What would you say to someone that's maybe thinking about doing it? And what are some tips that you have in terms of actually running a podcast?
Yeah, absolutely do it if you want to do it, I would say make sure you're passionate about the thing you're going to talk about. It
takes time though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say, but do, if you want it to be like as good as it can be, there is actually a lot of work involved, don't you think, in a podcast? There is a lot. Like, there's a lot that goes on in the background before you speak to someone. Or unless, I mean, maybe some people are that brilliant and confident they can just throw themselves at it. But I am definitely the type of person that does a lot of research. And I think it does help, actually, to do that. And I think you need to appreciate as well that there's quite a lot of work that goes into the edit. Like, that's the bit that I hate.
It takes the longest. Yeah.
So long, doesn't it? It's like, oh, my God. Because I think, and I think it's important as well that you make sure your guest is happy. So I don't necessarily let my guest hear it but before it goes out, but I always say, you know, is there something that you want taken out? Because that's respectful, right? I would say, make sure if you can edit yourself, get a good sound engineer. They are like invaluable. And what else did I say?
Did you edit yours yourself?
I couldn't do the technical side of it, but what I do is like I listen to it, I literally like go like 1.10 to 1.15 cut and with this line, did it, and that's, it takes forever and like go back and forward. And I always make sure I listen to it before it goes out, because, and I'll get someone else to listen to it as well, because, you know, there's a couple of my podcasts that the sound quality is not good. It was out with our control at that point. We were, well, you know, it's like, you know, you're virtually doing it or whatever. Or
sometimes you're hitting the face with that and you need to just go with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like sometimes. Or sometimes you don't even realise till after the event. You go, God, you listen back, you go, God, their mics really wasn't great or whatever. So you have to do a bit of work to sharpen it up. But, yeah, it's the recording's great, but it's the around it that there's a lot of work. But I think, my top tip would be make sure you're passionate about the subject, but just also have a go, you know?
Yeah.
Just have a go and find your own style. And you do learn as you go along, I think
what
that style is.
I think it's really important, like as you say, about listening to it as well, because a lot of people are like, oh my God, I don't like listening to my own voice. But I think you learn, you know, from what to do for next time, or like even just remembering parts of the conversation and stuff when you listen back to it. It's also cool to hear your conversation from a different perspective, because when you're having the conversation, you're in it. You know what I mean? You don't hear the conversation, I suppose. You hear the other person, but it's nice to kind of hear it from like a step back a little bit, you know?
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know about you, but I hate hearing my own voice. Like, it makes me ill, and I cringe at things I say, or the things that I cringe at just the way we speak. You know, I say words like or, and I'm like, oh, why do I say that?
Absolutely.
You focus in on things. And it's not about that, because it's about the guest story, but it's horrible. Yeah, your own insecurities, like, come on, Sarah.
My thing that I hate the most is, like, I think it's important to make sure the listener knows that I'm still listening to the person too. So you have to continue going,
But
I do it so much. And sometimes I'm like, why am I continuing? I know I'm there.
I feel like I could have written what you just said. I'm always like, oh my God, shut up, Nicole. Like, Why am I doing that?
Another issue I have with it as well is the social media aspect of it, right? It bugs me. It doesn't bug me. That's the wrong way to say it. I don't mean it like that. But like, social media engagement is so important, especially these days, in terms of getting out there. You know what I mean? Getting new clips here and there and stuff like that, and the connection with the listeners and stuff like that. So you'll see how many people have listened, but no, like, you don't get as many followers, or you don't get as many, and it's all about perception as reality, right? So if someone sees that, okay, this person's only got a couple hundred followers, you think, okay, well, they're not actually putting any work into it, you know, and it's just, I think it's hard to drive people to your pages.
That's so true. So I mean, that's so true, because, you know, I look at, like, we just have never put that much time, to be honest, into, like, trying to get followers on social media. We've always been really lucky that we've had, like, decent listener, like, figures, and a lot of, quite a lot of publicity around just like because of the guests, or maybe
guests
a subject
stuff,
that's been chatted about, for example, maybe a subject that's been quite current, and it's not been intentional, that's just happened. You know, sometimes we just hit a subject that seems to, I don't know, or like, for example, Liz, my wonderful Liz Lockhead, who I call her my adopted mummy Liz, she just, she has quite, she has an opinion on the SQA. She had an opinion on the SQA using one of her poems and felt like we should have used another one.
Okay.
And she said something, and it just went out.
Pure viral moment.
Yeah, and it was like, all right, Lesbo, fair enough. Like, you know, it's absolutely your poem. You have rights to everything you want to say. So she's just so wonderful. So yeah, things like that have happened, but that doesn't necessarily translate to, like, you know, Twitter. Like, for the amount of listens we have, we don't have that many people following Twitter. But at the same time, I go, yeah, that's, you know, okay, yeah, on Twitter or X, you'll see a bit about the podcast, but like the podcast is the podcast, they're on the platforms, right? It's elsewhere. And that, you're right, it's a hard thing because you could just be judged on what your social media, like,
right,
following is.
You don't have the blue tick and you're like, oh, yeah, does that make you less important than other people, you know?
It's wild. It's we had like a really lovely kind of mad thing happen. I remember I was in London that weekend and I woke up and people were like screenshotting an article in the Times newspaper. I was like, what is going on? And we'd been like called like Times Podcast of the Week.
I saw that in your Twitter bio, yeah.
It was miles, and we'd done this like article. They'd done this article and interview with Alan Cumming, and it was so lovely. And the journalist was so complimentary, and it was a really nice thing. I don't know if you're the same, but I'm just rubbish at capitalizing on stuff like that. We haven't monetized the podcast or done any of that stuff. So I should really try and do things like that, you know, just to increase, like, to get everyone out there or whatever. Yeah.
Well, what I will say is a couple of years ago, is it a couple of years now? I think it must have been a couple of years now, but I started putting out the video as well as the audio. And then you can put, like, clips of that on the socials and stuff like that. And then because the YouTube channel that it's on ended up getting a little bit more listens and views and sort of thing. I kind of passed the threshold of what you can do to start putting ads on it and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I don't monetize the audio, but like you get a little bit from YouTube because you're getting ads and stuff like that. So that's
interesting. Yeah, we were like, I don't know, we were going to, in the last series, we were going to put adverts on the, like, the audio podcast, but you know, just like Spotify's like own ones or whatever. And I don't know why. I think I would change my decision now, but I got really funny about it because I was like, oh, I don't like that they can just drop it in at like in the middle of a conversation. Yeah,
100%.
It's really annoying as a listener. But then actually, it's a bit stupid because if you monetize it, then we would be able to pay everybody properly
and
do the things that we need to do, you know?
All right, okay. Well, it's been lovely chatting to you. I mean, we should probably do this again at some point when we've got a little bit more time and we'll do it in person.
And
we'll chat a little bit more about the way we can actually do podcasts. And like, there's the online version and there's the in-person version and like what we prefer, that sort of thing.
And there's also, because a thing that we were looking into recently is doing like stage versions as well.
Yes, absolutely.
There's all loads of things we could do, but I can come back another time when my lighting's not so crappy.
No, lighting's great.
I've got a sort of funny color. I don't really know what's going on here.
We've been on the podcast so long, you've gotten a tan.
That's it, slightly jaundiced/tan.
That's a shame. Right, okay. Well, Nicola, it's been lovely chatting to you. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you. Take care of yourselves.
Take care. Bye-bye.